Jairada Madhava Punjabi Hari. Kapi Jana Valava Kivarari. Kapi Jana Valava Kivarari. Yashad Nandana Yajajan Nandana Yashad Nandana Yajajan Nandana Jamuna Kiravana Shari Muna Tira Banachari Jayada Madhava Kanjari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Nishupaya Paramahansupaya Pichakachaya Sutta Sadashri Shumad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jaya. Nanda Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamadirayet. Nastapaye Sapadresu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Tamashloke. Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 10, verses 7 through 12. And this is verse 7 up here. Okay. Shankatur Yamidanganam. Berita Marinam Mahan. Hastyashvaratapatinam. Naratam Nishvano Bhavat. Chant. Shankaturyamidanganam. Haridamarinam Maham. Hasasarapatinam. Naratam Nishvano Bhavat. Shankaturyam Ganganam Eri Damarinam Asasratapatinam Adatani Sanopava Shankaturyam Ganganam Eri Ladies. Shankaturyamidanganam. Peritamarinam. Hashasaratapatinam. Nadadam Nishanobhava. Shankaturyamidanganam. Herita Marinamaham Hastya Sarata Patinam Tani Sanapava Shankha of conch shells, Turya of big bugles, Mridanganam and of drums, Beri of bugles, Damarinam of kettle drums, Mahan great and tumultuous, Hasti of elephants, Ashva of horses, Ratapatinam of fighters on chariots or on the ground, Nadatam, all of them making sounds together. Nishvana, a tumultuous sound. Abhavat, so became. Translation. The sounds of the conch shells, bugles, drums, beris, and damaris, kettle drums, as well as the sounds made by the elephants, horses, and soldiers, who were both on chariots and on foot, were tumultuous. Ratina ratibis tatra patibis sahapataya haya haya ipas chebhai samasajanta sam yuge. On that battlefield, the charioteers fought with the opposing charioteers, infantry soldiers with opposing infantry, soldiers on horseback with opposing soldiers on horseback, and soldiers on the backs of elephants with the enemy soldiers and elephants. In this way, the fighting took place between equals. Ustrai kechiri bhai kechir apare yu yudu karai kechigora makai rikshai dipipir haripir bataha. Some soldiers fought on the backs of camels, some on the backs of elephants, some on asses, some on white-faced and red-faced monkeys, some on tigers, and some on lions. In this way, they all engaged in fighting. Gritrai kankair bakair anye shenab hasai stiming gilai sharvai mahisai katkair ko vishagapayavanai shiva bhir akkubhi keche kikalasai shashai narai vastare ke krishna sarai hangsai anye chasukarai anye jalastala kagai satar vikita vikrahai seniyor ibhayor rajan vihivishuste katogata. O king, some soldiers fought on the backs of vultures, eagles, ducks, hawks, and basa birds. Some fought on the backs of timingalas, which can devour huge whales. Some on the backs of sharabhas, and some on buffalo, rhinoceros, cows, bulls, jungle cows, and arunas. Others fought on the backs of jackals, rats, lizards, rabbits, human beings, goats, black deer, swans, and boars. In this way, mounted on animals of the water, land, and sky, including animals with deformed bodies, both armies faced each other and went forward. Mukam makaroti vachalam pangam mankayate girin yakipam tamam pande shi gurum tiratavinam. O magyana timirandasya gyanan chana shalakaya chakshumiditam yena tasamai shi gurave namaha. Srimad Bhagavatam Paranamamalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahansyam Ekamamalam Gyanam Param Diyate Tatya Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkamyam Aviskritam Tachin Vansu Patam Vicharanapara Bhaktya Vimuchyam Nara. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. It is the purest of the Puranas, and it is very, very old. Purana means very old. Even in Hindi, I think Bengali, Purana, very old. So how old is Bhagavatam? How old? It's millions and trillions, and actually it goes beyond time. So what do we get from Srimad Bhagavatam? Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam. We get knowledge, we get Vairagya, we get renunciation, and we get Bhakti. All of these combined. Every word of Bhagavatam is full and complete. So even though we don't have purports here, we do have the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. And every word is leading us to Krishna. Shinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyan Nara, that if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvan Supatan, if you chant or you read nicely, very nicely, Vicharana Paro, if you give your consideration, if you meditate, if you try to understand Bhagavatam from all angles of vision, Vimuchyan, you will get Vimukti, not just Mukti, you will get Vimukti. So this verse also says that it is for the Paramahansas, the verse which I'm quoting, that is 12, 13, 18, describing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so it is Paramahansa Sangita. It is meant for Paramahansas. And in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that we can all become Paramahansas. We can all become non-envious. And how is that? He says that in the last line of the second verse of the first canto, first chapter. Sadyo hridayam vimudate cha kittivi shushu shubis takshanat. If you simply give submissive and attentive oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, you can capture the Lord in the heart. So let us listen to what's happening here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of the universe, history of the whole universe, higher planets, lower planets, and this is a span over billions and trillions of years, so many years. So today we're going to discuss why the demigods and demons are fighting, where it actually happened, and when it happened. These three things we'll discuss in today's class. And in Monday's class, we'll discuss the who's who, because I have the list of all the names of the fighters who are there. So we'll have the who's who on the battlefield, demons and demigods both. And then the last day, we'll see how there's an up and down between the demons and demigods. And we'll discuss next Thursday how, what to do when there are reverses. And so today, first of all, we'll discuss a bit about why. Why do the demons and demigods fight? And how it all started. There was another fight at the beginning of this millennium, of Vaivasvata Manu. And it all started when Indra was sitting on the throne with Sachi, and everybody was glorifying Indra. The apsaras were dancing, and all the Gandharvas were singing Indra's glories, and he was having a good time. But in the middle of all that glorification, his spiritual master, Brihaspati, walked in. And what did Indra do? He neglected to honor his spiritual master. So that's how the fight started, actually. Because when he neglected to honor Brihaspati, then Brihaspati got offended, he disappeared, and Indra realized, oh no, I made a mistake. But it was too late, because Brihaspati disappeared and he couldn't find him to offer obeisances and beg forgiveness. So he lost all his opulence at that point, and the demons did defeat him. And this fight happened at the beginning, at the end of Satyayuga, in the first millennium of our present Manu, which is Vaivasvata Manu. So in the first, he has 72 yuga cycles. We are now in the 28th yuga cycle. And this this was from 6th canto, this fight which I'm referring to, between the demons and the demigods. This happened, again, of course, on the in the higher planets, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, in the first millennium of our present Manu. So now, what about this fight? When did this fight happen? This fight happened in the last Manu, that is Chakshusha Manu. We know there are 14 Manus, and we are in number 7 now, that's Vaivasvata Manu, and before that there was number 6, Chakshusha Manu. So this fight started way back then. And before the churning of the ocean of milk, again, the demigods were defeated. Now, why were they defeated? Well, he has to go back to Indra again. Indra was walking on the road, or not walking on the road, riding on the road on his elephant, and the great sage Durvasa Muni happened to walk by. And he had a beautiful garland, and he gave the garland to Indra, and Indra put the garland on his elephant. And the elephant destroyed the garland. So this was the beginning of this whole Leela. Again, Indra committed an offense to a sadhu, Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni cursed him, and he lost the battle, he lost all his opulence, and the demons won. So then we know the story, because you've been going through it now, that actually they made a truce, and they started churning the ocean of milk, and the demigods got the nectar, and now again they're fighting because the demigods got the nectar, which the demons wanted. But the cause of the fight was that Indra, who's supposed to be in the mode of goodness and is in the mode of goodness, he became overcome by passion or pride. And so we may be living in the mode of goodness and here in Swargaloka and Ramanreti, but sometimes we may be overcome by passion if we become proud. We may make offenses to the other devotees, and there may be a fight. Or there may be reactions, there may be consequences, as what happened to Indra. So in this present fight, we have a cosmic war here going on, and this is in the heavenly planets. And from verse 9, we're hearing about all the different kinds of vehicles which they had. Now, we've got an army, we've got a navy, and we've got an air force here. So let us hear who is in the Army, who is in the Navy, and who is in the Air Force. We've got camels, elephants, asses, horses, and monkeys, tigers, and lions. They are our vehicles in the Army. Then we've got our Air Force, the vultures, the eagles, the ducks, the hawks, and the possum birds. So we have our Air Force. And then we have our Navy, the timingalas, these huge, huge fish who can swallow even whales. So they are our Navy in the heavenly planets. And then we have some more Army, buffalo, rhinoceros, cows, bulls, jackals, rats. Now, lizards, they can go in the water and on the land. So is that, you call that Marines? I don't know. Something like Marines. And then we have rabbits, human beings, goats. Of course, human beings can swim, but I think they're probably on the land. Black deer, swans. Now, swans can go everywhere. They can swim, they can fly, and they can also walk on the land. I saw swans in Denmark on the land. So they're all three. We've got Army, Air Force, and the Navy. We've got the swans. So we can see the difference between the heavenly planets and our planets. Here, when people want to fight, they have tanks and trucks and so many things, which are not very imaginative. But in the heavenly planets, we have much more interesting vehicles. So let's go back to the cause of the fight. And this is the cause of many fights in this world regarding devotees. Indra is a devotee. And he did a mad elephant offense, and it was graphically shown with his elephant. He had an elephant, and he put the garland on the elephant, and the elephant destroyed it. And so we also, if we make offense to devotees, then it's described, it's like an elephant going through our garden, our devotional garden, and trampling all the creeper. And so what was the cause of Indra's fall down was pride. And there are two, according to Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, there are two causes of fall down, which Lord Brahma was very, very afraid of. And these two causes, one is pride, and the second cause of fall down is deviation. So Lord Brahma prayed in the 3rd canto, I pray only to engage in my Lord's service in the creation of the material world, and I pray I not be materially affected by my works. For thus, I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. So Srila Prabhupada explained in that purport of 3.9.23, Brahma is an assistant in the modes of creation, and he wanted to remain in his actual position as an instrument of the Lord instead of being puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator. So many of us, we are tiny creators. We may create a business, we may create a family, we may create disciples, we may create a temple, and many times we may fall down by thinking, yes, it is my creation, and we become attached to it. But so this is something to watch out for, as Lord Brahma is showing us as the head of our sampradaya, that we should pray to become protected from this fall down of pride. And the second fall down, which Lord Brahma prays for protection from, is in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. So this is very, very significant for us as devotees, that sometimes we may speculate on these scriptures, or we may think that we know better than Srila Prabhupada, who wrote them, who translated them. We learn Sanskrit, and we think, yes, I can do a better job here of this translation. And so that is called deviation from the vibration of the Vedic hymns, because we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. We have Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, as Srila Prabhupada gave it to us. So in the purport of that 3.9.24, Srila Prabhupada says that Brahma wants to be protected by the Lord because he has to contact many, many vicious living entities. An ordinary Brahman may fall from the Brahma Tejas, or power of Brahminical excellence, due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. So in our preaching work, we may become affected by association with the fallen conditioned souls, because we're also a fallen conditioned soul ourselves. And so sometimes we get in the wrong association, and we get affected. Especially many of our gurus, they have to take the karma of the fallen conditioned souls, and sometimes they may get sick or they may be affected by this. So Lord Brahma, he's the head of the Sampradaya, and it is not only his duty to create the bodies of the living entities and to create the planets and the universe, it is also his duty to lead all of the living entities back to Godhead. And so that is, as his followers, it is also our duty. So Srila Prabhupada said that Brahma, as the supermost Brahman, is afraid of such a fall down, and he prays to the Lord for protection. Prabhupada said this is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and blessing to carry out one's duty. And so we need to take a lesson of what could happen if we neglect to pray to the Lord for protection, if we forget who we actually are. So Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, gave his missionary work to us, to his devotees, and assured of them of protection. So Prabhupada, what does that mean? There is a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jari Deko Tari Koho, Krishna Upadesh. Amar Agyai Guru Hoya Taro E Desh. That on my order, you become guru. And whoever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. And I will protect you. If you follow my instructions, I'll protect you from fall down. And again, we will meet together. So Prabhupada said the prayer, path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Little inattentiveness can cause fall down and bloodshed. And so our experience is that in my personal life, that if I become proud or deviated, then immediately the fall down is there. It may not be a gross fall down, but it may be a subtle fall down. Like a very simple one is like during japa, when you're chanting and then you start thinking, oh, I'm chanting so nicely. This is so wonderful. I'm such a great devotee. And then you fall down. You fall down while you're chanting your japa. Or maybe while you're giving a class or doing your service, you may fall down in that way. Or in the worst case, you may offend another Vaishnava, and then you may leave the movement or do something very, very distressing. And so here, the demons and the demigods, we know previously they were on different planets. And then we heard they became in another yuga on different countries. Then we heard in Dwapar Yuga, they're in the same family, the battle of Kurukshetra. But in Kali Yuga, where are the demons and demigods? In the same body. So it is our fight. It's not just the demons and demigods in the higher planets, but it's within us that the battle is going on every day. So why do we sometimes lose the battle for steadiness and advancement in spiritual life? Why do we fall down? One main obstacle is our own false ego, our own self-imposed prison of false ego, who we think we are. We like to follow our false ego, what it tells us on the path of pride and deviation. And one devotee, he said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, I feel like I had more good qualities before I became a devotee, and now I have so many bad qualities after. So what does this mean? What does this mean that sometimes you see now, I see so many qualities I didn't even realize I had, all these bad qualities. So Srila Prabhupada answered, when you're cleaning a dirty room, before you clean the room, you see all the dirt's on the bottom and you don't notice it. But if you start cleaning the room, all the dust starts to fly. And then you see, oh my God, how dirty this room was. So when we chant the holy name, we're cleaning our heart. And all the dust starts flying when we start cleaning. And then we see, oh my God, I didn't know I had that desire and that desire, and also even that desire. So we know in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, Lord Krishna was talking about divine and demonic qualities. And he had to reassure Arjuna, don't worry, you're born with divine qualities. And so we also, of course, we're not born with divine qualities. We're kind of demons being reformed by Srila Prabhupada and by the process. But what does it mean when we're faced with all this, these bad qualities and all this dirt? It's a symptom that we're able to see these things, so we're in the level of anartha nivritti. After bhajana kriya, or during, just after bhajana kriya, we come to the level of anartha nivritti. So this is the uphill struggle to see the light, to be steady in our chanting, to come to the morning program steadily, to read steadily, to worship the deities, to serve our spiritual master despite old age, despite disease, despite so many things, despite all of our material tendencies. We still want to, we want to serve, and we're struggling to do that. So Bhakti Tirthamaraj, just before he's left his body, he said something very, very interesting, which I copied down from the internet. And he said that, of course, we know he's very famous for Spiritual Warrior series of books, that he said that we are all spiritual warriors and we have to fight this battle. And he said that so many of us have been pioneers. I see a lot of older devotees here, and I know there are a lot in this community. And many of us were pioneers. Some of us started new temples. I know when, before I was initiated, and my husband, before we were initiated, we went and started a temple actually in Jacksonville in 1971, I think it was. It didn't last so long, but anyway, we tried, because that was the system. You learn how to chant, you learn how to cook, you learn all these things, and you go out and start a temple. Now, that was what we were doing in the old days. And so, pioneers. Some of us were pioneers in deity worship, some of us in going to different countries, some of us in book distribution. And so many of us were pioneers. And pioneers, they sacrifice their youth, and they sacrifice so many things for the future generations. So many of us, we have that experience that we did sacrifice. And all this, we get very special mercy when we do that sacrifice, and it's kept in our spiritual bank account. But Bhakti Tirthamaraj says, I've personally noticed that many devotees build up their spiritual investments, and when it's almost time for them to cash in from their credits to receive empowerment and to accelerate by leaps and bounds in their consciousness, Maya finds a way to trick them so they become unaware or unable to benefit from what is available at the right time. And so in our life, in our spiritual life, we come to a crossroads. Sometimes the guru kulis are like that. They're born in the movement and they come to a place where, okay, sense gratification or Krishna consciousness. And so many of us who are older devotees, we also come to this crossroads, like in midlife sometimes, sometimes before, sometimes after, where we think, oh, should I, you know, do what I didn't do in my youth? Should I do all these things now? Or should I just surrender more at this point to Krishna and take the next step? So Bhakti Tirthamaraj says that it seems that several of the fall downs in high places, he said, are due to four causes. And this is not only for big devotees. It is also for medium and small devotees too. The same causes of fall down, the same causes are there. And what are these four causes? According to Bhakti Tirthamaraj, aparad, or offense, that's one cause of fall down, and a lack of humility, second cause of fall down, and lack of quality association. Sometimes when you're at the top, and then it's hard to associate because everybody is below you. But if you're at the bottom, then it's easier. So lack of quality association. And then number four, lack of knowledge of the dynamics of advancement in spiritual life. And so we don't realize that actually we have to keep on trying to advance in spiritual life. Even though we've been in the movement almost 40 years, it doesn't mean we don't stop trying to advance, because it's still a long way back to Godhead. So we have to take association and get knowledge and avoid offenses. When we're faced with a choice, we have to have the courage to take the road to spiritual life, the road back to Krishna. So how do we avoid Vaishnava aparad? And that is humility. Srila Prabhupada, of course, was our greatest example of humility. And I would just like to read one prayer that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his spiritual master. He said, personally, I have no hope for any direct service for the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life. So this is humility. Crores of birth. Crore means millions or tens of millions of births. So this is Srila Prabhupada. We're, some of us in Vrindavan especially, they're thinking, wow, this is my last life. So I have to just meditate on the Rasalila and all, with the gopis, all these things. And surely I will be already in the spiritual world and back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says, I have no hope for any direct service for the coming course of the births of the sojourn of my life. Direct service. That means we're all servants of the servants of the servant. But I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from this mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. So therefore, let me with all my earnestness pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to allow me to suffer the lot for which I'm destined due to my past misdoing. So tate nukampam susamikshamano. He's confident that by the mercy of his spiritual master, he will be successful. And he's also bunjana evatma kritam vipakam, that I, let me tolerate the reactions for my past sins. But let me realize this one thing, I'm nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my Divine Master. And so we can beg Srila Prabhupada to give us a humble attitude in his service. And when we get praise, we give credit to him. And we know that we have our bhakti creeper, it's very delicate, and we need to nourish it and nurture it. And I just remember one thing that Bharijan Prabhu said, which was very wonderful in one of the retreats. He said, as the roots, so we know this bhakti creeper is growing, hopefully, by our chanting and hearing. But what are the roots of the bhakti creeper? And that is humility. And Bharijan Prabhu said, as the roots of humility grow deeper, the tree of bhakti grows taller. So the more we water the roots of humility, then the more we can experience love of Krishna. So there is hope for us. We beg the mercy of the Guru, the Vaishnavas, and Gornitai to become free of offense. And there is liberation in the sound of the chanting of the holy name. So I would just like to read this. These verses start with the sounds of the conch shells. Oh yeah, here, I have a little book here which I'll be giving out on Monday. It's a book, a very beautiful book of prayers to Srila Prabhupada. So here is the last prayer. O Prabhupada, when will I sound the conch to announce that the final battle has been won, that my mind and heart have taken full and permanent shelter at your divinely soft lotus feet? O Prabhupada, when, oh when, will that day be mine? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments? We'll take questions first, if there are any questions. Yes, you have a question? Or, yeah.
You mentioned about deviation in your class.
Right.
I remember reading in one of Srila Prabhupada, Bhakta Godhead magazines,
mm-hmm.
that when there's deviation, or if there's deviation, the authority is lost. Can you explain a little bit?
You want me to explain, when there is deviation, the authority is lost. Yes, deviation means you reject the authority and you accept the authority of your own mind. And so if you deviate, then you think your mind is the authority. And this is one of the demons that Krishna killed. The first demon, actually, that he killed in Braj was Putana. So Putana is the cheating guru. The cheating guru can be another person, or it can be your own mind. So what does the cheating guru do? What does Putana do? She gives to the people, she gives milk along with poison. So when you have a cheating guru, which may be your own mind, you have the milk, you do have the milk, but it's along with the poison. And so basically your authority is Putana, but we follow Yashoda Mata. She gives the pure milk, which is nourishing to Krishna. Whereas she wants to nourish Krishna, Putana wants to kill Krishna. So our Srila Prabhupada, he is giving us the pure milk. Whereas we find there are many who are giving the milk. You know, they're giving Krishna Katha, they're giving Rasleela, they're giving Srimad Bhagavatam, they're giving Bhagavad Gita, but it's mixed with the poison. So the result is different. They reject the authority of Prabhupada, of Krishna. And so then you get the poison milk mixed, and then you get the results. You suffer from the poisonous effects. What is that? There's a verse, you know, that if you hear from a non-devotee, a Vaishnava mukogirna, bhutam harikatamrita, savanam naiva kartavyam, sarpochista atapaya, that it's milk touched by the lips of a serpent causes poisonous effects. And so this is the result of deviation. It may be your own mind that's your putana guru that you accept. Yes, I know everything. I have learned Sanskrit. And therefore, I can make my own Bhagavad Gita. And I can make my own commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. One time, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, why do people write so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita? You know, why don't they just write their own book, you know, instead of taking Bhagavad Gita? So Prabhupada said, yes, because the reason why they write so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita is because if they write their own book, nobody will read it. But everyone reads Gita, so then they take Bhagavad Gita and put their own philosophy in it, and then it's poison, milk touched with poison. And so that is what happens. Yes, Prabhu, you have a question?
Uh-huh. When we hear that the demons are in the same body and we are referring to the demoniac qualities, is these a production of our own conditioned nature, or is it a different entity influencing us? How do we see the demon in the same body?
Okay, so it is, partly it's our conditioned nature, that we are born with certain qualities, divine and demoniac. But then again, it's also a product of our association. And just like there's an example of, who was that demon? Narakasura, he was born of Lord Vishnu. But by association with Banasura, he became a demon. He became a demon. So part of it is conditioning, part of it is association, and part of it is the modes of material nature, which are controlling us. So in that sense, it's a foreign thing, because our nature is to be servant of Krishna. And so there is our soul. Our soul is striving to be free. Our soul is striving to is desiring to serve Krishna. But then we have our conditioning on one side, we have association on the other, and then we have Maya Devi, who is her duty to test us to see which way we want to go. If we want to stay here for some more time, if we're ready to go back to Godhead. So I would say it's a combination of outside influence of Maya Devi, or Maya within, and our own conditioning. But then when we come to spiritual life, when we have association with devotees, we have a choice. We do have a choice. And we should be aware of that choice. Always we have that choice to take the spiritual or the material. The soul is there, and the soul has the choice. And so we have to listen to our intelligence, which is coming from super soul, and then we can make the right choice. But if we listen to the material intelligence, there's two intelligences again. There's the material, and then there's the spiritual. So I would say it is a combination. Yes, Prabhu, you have a question? Or comment?
Sir.
I think it's...
Partly yes. Question, partly comment.
Okay.
I find that sometimes if something is not in within Srila Prabhupada writing, or we hear for the first time, then we tend to look at it with suspicion and
right.
The philosophy.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, if we're not that intelligent, or if we're not that, you know, philosophically inclined,
We tend to reject this or to be critical. I can remember one time I quote from a book that Srila Bhaktivinod also quoted from.
Oh.
You know, he quoted from the exact book and I quoted and then there were some devotees saying, well, they've never heard this, Srila Prabhupada never written this. Yeah. You know, and so how are we to accept or to know when something is not in line with our philosophy or you know how.
So how do we know if something is in line with our philosophy or not? Well, we do have our three tests, that is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And so when we are in doubt, then these are our three sources of consultation. We consult Shastra, we consult Guru, and we consult the Sadhus. And so all three, when they are all three in agreement, then we can understand whether it's correct or not. That is our, of course we have Cheta Guru, but that has to be confirmed with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. All three. If you just emphasize one over the other, you might get in trouble. Some people just emphasize Guru, and then if their Guru leaves, then what happens? The sadhus, all the rest of the sadhus are in Maya, or the books are not necessary. And some people emphasize Shastra. And for them also, then they reject the association of devotees and gurus. And then some emphasize sadhus only. And so then they don't care so much about the books. But all three have to be there. And you consult all three, and you put it before them, and if they're in agreement, then you can understand what is correct and what is not correct. That is our test. That is our test for determining what is the correct philosophy. Yes? I think, what time are we supposed to stop?
You can go on as long as you want. So, for me.
Okay.
In fact, Adi Lila, canto.
Fifth chapter.
How do you say fifth chapter? Sorry.
Fifth chapter.
36 or 206, in the purport, beginning, Srila Prabhupada writes, if one wants to understand who is Bhagavan,
right,
who is Bhakta or devotee, and what is Bhakti, one must, he used that word, one must read Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Brihad Bhagavatamrita,
okay. Compiled by Sanatana Goswami.
Yes.
In the same purport, he also put, if one wants to understand the pastimes of Krishna Lila in deeper or deeply, something right. Like that, he must read, or he should read, he said, Dasami Tippani.
Which one?
Dasami Tippani by Sanatana Goswami, okay. Including Vaishnava Tosani, like that.
Yes.
So I myself, I'm asking you, I felt, I had a lot of doubts about different pastimes also. Right. It apparently like mundane some, these, that.
Yeah.
But after, by the mercy of Sadhu Gurus, I started serving those scripture by, I was taking also Prabhupada's instructions since he mentioned that. I have removed almost most of my doubts about those pastimes with Acharya's commentary. Now, somebody may not accept or not, but I take Prabhupada's instruction as he said also in the book. Not necessarily he has to translate everything. He already gave instruction. What more you want? Brahmaji asked the same thing. The humility, you are mentioning the more synonymous to progress of bhakti, right? You have mentioned. Acharya is commenting. But the humility also that Brahmaji, who asked that question, which Brahma am I? Before he wanted to propose. And then Krishna had to display the whole episode of how many millions of Brahma, and he was the most insignificant. So humility means where one position himself at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. That is the first class form of humility. Because in Mayapur, we had a dacoits, and sorry, not dacoits, Muslim attacks. Mm. Bhavananda Maharaj shot from the roof.
Yeah, I was in Calcutta at that time.
Oh, okay.
I was.
You know the what Prabhupada says on that?
I was there. Not in my.
Ananda, I'm not to,
yeah, Nova. I was in Calcutta when it happened.
Okay. So you know what Prabhupada's comment on that?
I don't remember that.
Okay, well, they had a, Bhavananda Maharaj was explaining us in the parking lot that Prabhupada had a tears in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada was explaining that the newspaper in Bengal that time, they said that these are the sadhus, but where is their humility? Because then Prabhupada comment very unique. He said the humility is a very special quality that doesn't exist with the karmis. Because they think humility means artificial humble.
Right.
What about Hanuman? He burned the entire Lanka. Was he humble? Humility was there or not? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sudhakar says he was 100%, 100% humble at that time. Because no deny to the order of my master. Whatever will please him, I must do. This is humility.
So, do you have a question or was that a comment? I couldn't figure out.
It's a question and comment how to reconcile this. Because it's not a Prabhupada's books only, but Prabhupada also instructed.
Say the question again.
The Prabhupada books that he translated, that's one angle, yes. Prabhupada also instructed some of his disciples to write books, like Sarvana Prabhu, he told him to translate Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Right.
So we should not read that or what?
No, I'm not saying that. But actually somebody asked me this question in Denmark, and when should we know that we can read other books? So Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada said there are four books which are sufficient, that is Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So I would, from my own experience, give the advice that read all of these books first, all of them thoroughly, one time, two times, three times, all of Prabhupada's books, these four especially. After you've read these four, then you may, with the permission of your guru, you ask your guru's permission, then you may read other books. And biographies you can read any time. That's not a problem, biographies. But some of the books are for the higher, more advanced devotees. And if a younger devotee would read them, they would get doubts, they would get misunderstood. So personally, I had to read Brihad Bhagavatamrita because I was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. I had to read so many books just so I could understand the 10th canto, Acharya's commentaries, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But the main thing is Prabhupada's books. I found in the 10th canto that the best commentary was Nectar of Devotion, which Prabhupada had written, all describing all the different ecstasies, all the different, what they were going through in the Braj Leela, and also Krishna book. These two I found very, although I did read everything, Garga Samhita, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I read all of them, and the Sharatha Darshini, all of these books I read. But I found that the most wonderful commentaries were Srila Prabhupada's. I just finished studying Prayers Personified Vedas, because this year we have to teach, we have to finish the 10th canto this year, from chapter 55 to 90. And I was reading one verse in the Prayers Personified Vedas, verse 25, where it describes all the six darshans. And Hridayananda Maharaj, or whoever translated it, he was giving the quotes from Vedanta Sutra, how to defeat these six darshans, how to counteract them. Then I read Krishna book, and Prabhupada was quoting Bhagavad Gita, how to defeat the six darshans. Very simple, very simple. And so that's the difference. That's the difference. Srila Prabhupada made it simple for us, and he could defeat anyone just with Bhagavad Gita. He could counteract any argument just from quoting Bhagavad Gita. So I thought that was beautiful. And I just finished studying in Mayapur this summer. I was preparing for teaching, and I saw the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's simplicity and humility, and how he caught us to follow Krishna. So his books are the most beautiful and the most simple and the most direct and the most... But it's not that you don't read other books. You may also read other books, especially if you have already read. If you're a scholar type, you can, you've read all of Prabhupada's books, you've really assimilated and appreciated, then you read other books, and it's very nice. But with the permission of your guru, that's very important. We don't do anything, and the blessings of the Vaishnavas. We accept, Prabhupada even, he took the blessings of the Vrijvasis before he went to America. Even though they didn't want to give their blessings, he tricked them into giving Because they didn't approve of somebody going out of Vrindavan and overseas. And so he had a meeting with all the, I mean, they were meeting regularly, and he gave them his books. He said, these books are going overseas. Please bless them. So they passed around the books. Everyone gave their blessings. And then he said, I'm going to take the books overseas. You have to bless me too. So he took the blessings. So that is humility. Whatever we do, if you want to read other books, okay, take the blessings of the Vaishnavas, take the blessings of your guru, not, okay, Prabhupada said, I shall do, you know, that. But real humility is that we do take the blessings, and then we are successful. By their mercy, we can speak. By their mercy, we can read the other books. Okay? Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here, I guess. Tonight, we have a class in Japa. And Saturday night, it's on reading Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna. I should have said in English. The six, I don't know it in English. Six darshans. That's Vaishnava.